Ketchikan-based incumbent Representative Dan Ortiz and his challenger, Ketchikan Republican Leslie Becker. You can call in and ask a question at 874-2345. Welcome. Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Uh-oh. Okay. There we go. Sorry.
I heard Dan, too.
Okay. Yep. Welcome, there. Representative Ortiz. And welcome to Challenger Leslie Becker. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Sorry about those little technical difficulties right there at the beginning.
Well, thank you, Sage. It's a pleasure to be here.
It is a pleasure.
Yes, thank you, Sage.
It is a pleasure to have you. So for anybody listening in, you can call in to ask a question at 874-2345 at any time. I guess I want to start off with something that I like to do. I think I've asked you both to do this previously in private interviews, but if you could give me an elevator pitch, about 30 seconds, what makes you the best candidate to represent District 36?
And, who goes first?
Yeah, sorry. Representative Ortiz, how about you start out?
Well, it's pretty simple. I have the experience, the qualifications, the record results that reflect a legislator that really lives up to the value of being a voice of the people and for the people. Whether it's working with Senator Stedman into the capital budget funding or for the things like the Shoemaker Bay Harbor project that we did in Wrangell or the Evergreen Road project, my record of service in the legislature reflects one of effectively advocating for and getting results to meet the needs of the people, businesses, and industries in Wrangell and all in District 36. Close to 30 seconds.
Very nice. Thank you, Representative Ortiz. Leslie Becker, you're up.
Yeah, hi. I'm a passionate patriot. I'm committed to defending the Constitution of the United States and the state of Alaska. I've lived in Ketchikan for 4 years. I came here to follow my husband, who's the orthopedic surgeon here. I have a huge amount of business background and in healthcare and budget management, business development, strategic planning. And I just want to apply that because I don't think our legislature is serving us well right now. And we need to look at fiscal responsibility and right-sizing how we manage the state. And I bring that skill set to the table, and I really want to be involved to protect our children's future.
Thank you very much for those pitches, both of you candidates. So I want to start out, you have had some other candidate forums, and this is your first candidate forum in Wrangell. Wrangell is starting to feel a bit like a forgotten city. Petersburg is a city of pretty comparable size to Wrangell, a few hundred people more. But in terms of services, they're receiving almost four times as much ferry service this winter. The OCS worker has moved to Petersburg. The Fish and Game office has moved to Petersburg. And the full-time public health nurse also comes to us from Petersburg now. We no longer have a full-time public health nurse here. So you have to represent the whole of District 36 if you are either elected or reelected. What do you have to say to the people of Wrangell who are seeing state services continue to be cut to our city? And what will you do to keep us supported? What would you say to people who want to know how you will support the city and borough of Wrangell? And we'll start out with Leslie Becker.
Okay, so these are issues that have been brought to my attention. When I visited Wrangell, I come about once a month, and I've heard all of these issues, and they need to be addressed, especially, you know, you look at the population size of Petersburg and Wrangell, they're relatively comparable, and so we need to look at how those resources are being applied and how we can revise that, and that's a Department of Health and Human Services. It's a public safety discussion, all of those departments need to be addressed and look at how we can redeploy those things, those assets or those resources back into the community. So there's consistent support for a community the size of Wrangell. I think it's imperative. I also know that your ferry services have been drastically restricted this year. And I believe that we need to fight for a minimum schedule, including a Wrangell landing that is comparable to some of the Petersburg landings. It doesn't make sense to me that you would be left so void of service for such a long period of time. So that's a big concern of mine.
Thank you very much, Leslie Becker. Do you have anything else to add? All right. Representative Ortiz, same question.
You bet. Here's the thing. I've been working on all of those issues. Last budget session, I was the subfinance chair of the Fish and Game subcommittee, where we pushed through an increase in funding for Fish and Game, which if it would have been adopted by the governor, would have kept the Wrangell Fish and Game office open. We got it through the House, we got it through the Senate, and it was vetoed by the governor. On the issue of the health worker, public health worker, I worked with your local mayor, your city manager, and we put together a proposal working with Health and Human Services to provide funding for a half-time health worker that would be there in Wrangell. And I believe they were going to integrate that position to some other duties for the city of Wrangell as well. Again, we got that passed through on the House side, we got it passed through on the Senate side, and it was vetoed by the governor. I've been living and breathing the issues of Wrangell since my time of office. As to the ferry service, I have written a letter directed towards the Commissioner of Transportation, Commissioner McKinnon, where I pointed out the fact that, for the next over two months, starting with the winter schedule, Wrangell will be without service. And yet Petersburg will have at least every 2 week service. I wrote the letter. I actually communicated with the legislative liaison, came up with another idea, perhaps taking one of the vessels that's serving the outlying areas in places like Hoonah and Cake and having it run down to Wrangell to take passengers up to Petersburg so that they either could connect with the ferry going south or the ferry going north. But they responded, they said they would look at it, and they responded and said, well, you know, it can't be done. Well, then I've just recently sent a letter to the governor, to the commissioner, Commissioner McKinnon, where I'm asking him to reconsider this decision, because it just makes no sense that if you have a ferry that's going by Wrangell, that it can't stop and pick up passengers. And so I've requested that they reassess their schedule and please include the community of Wrangell as to a normal stop on this 2 week cycle of the ferry that's gonna go from Bellingham out to the western chain of Alaska. Mm-hmm. So, I just ask people to look at my record and will know quite clearly that I've been fighting long and hard for the community of Wrangell and in the areas where they've been shortchanged. Mm-hmm. And I will continue to do so.
So speaking of ferry service, we did get some emailed questions about ferry service. One from Karen Lockerbie, who said, we here in Wrangell are not scheduled to have ferry service this winter. Petersburg will have limited service. Would you agree that those ferries stopping in Petersburg should also land in Wrangell and provide us with at least skeleton service? It sounds like both of you do agree that Wrangell does need some kind of different ferry service. So I'll give you a little bit of background, and then I do want to talk more specifically about your plans for the ferry service, what you would like to see the ferry service look like going forward, taking into account the reshaping work group's plans and taking into account the situation in Wrangell. So here's a little bit of background. Economic climate survey that was just finished in Wrangell, unprompted, 40% of respondents mentioned that a lack of ferry service hampered their ability to bounce back from this economically devastating year. And then just today, KSTK got a call from a Ketchikan resident about how he's unable to come up to our shipyard anymore because of poor ferry service. And he mentioned that that has lost the shipyard and this community hundreds of thousands of dollars just from his own purchases in this shipyard. So Wrangell has one northbound ferry scheduled for the month of November, none for December, and one southbound ferry scheduled in January. Petersburg and Ketchikan, neighbors to the north and south, have much fuller schedules. So what would you like to see the Marine Highway look like in the future? And how? Tell us how you would help Wrangell get the vital ferry service that we need. And sorry, we started out with Leslie Becker last time, so we'll start out with Representative Ortez this time.
So I'll start my answer with what my vision and what my plan is for the AMHS as a whole. And then I will just quickly summarize what I previously answered in my last question, which how, you know, as to how I have been addressing this particular issue of lack of Wrangell service in this coming winter schedule. So I'll start my response in general by quoting from a letter recently written by a Republican representative from Kodiak, Louise Stutes, where she said in an LTE to the Ketchikan Daily News, quote, Representative Ortiz is the most effective, unwavering advocate for the Alaska Marine Highway ferry service that we have in the legislature today. I'd like to objectively think that Representative Stutes is right. Whether it's serving on the House Finance of the House Finance Committee or whether where we pushed through a budget on the House side, which restored enough funding to keep the system running in the fall of last year after Governor Dunleavy suggested a budget amount that would have shut down the entire system after September 30th of 2019, or more recently, the budgets in the more recent budget cycle, when that same Finance Committee was able to get an increase of $21 million for AMHS operations through on the House side and then on the Senate side, again, only to have the governor veto it. I am in the position to effectively advocate for the Alaska Marine Highway System and look to the future when we can begin to solve such issues as Prince Rupert BC access, a plan of replacement of our aging fleet of vessels, starting with the building of a ferry that will replace the Tustamina so that regular reliable service can be restored to the southwestern part of Alaska. And the money is there in place. I'm just going to add to the list of voices saying, hey, the money's there, federal money's there, let's build that ship to start replacing this fleet. And finally, to give a thorough review of the recently released government or reshaping committee's report to the governor and see what that report says about how to restructure the management of the AMHS. So one day, my vision here is in the not too distant future, that hopefully we can again have a system that provides reliable, dependable, a level of public service that meets the needs of businesses such as Airbnbs in Wrangell, our school activities programs and individual constituent needs. We can restore it to where it was in the past. And again, the specific issue of service to Wrangell, I cited those very statistics, Sage, that you cited in my letter to the governor, how 40% of the people weren't even asked about the Marine Highway System as to the issues of how the community should deal with the problems of COVID, as well as the declining fishing industry. They weren't asked anything about the Marine Highway System, and yet 40% of the people said that's one of their biggest concerns about the future of the economy for Wrangell and this upcoming winter and the struggles that that community is seeing. And so I mentioned that survey. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm doing what I can, and I'm going to continue to do what I can if I get reelected.
Thank you, Representative Ortiz. Candidate Becker.
Yes. So to that, you know, to continue on with that, this is a critical issue. If the Marine Highway needs to be restored in a reliable and predictable fashion, you know, so we have the right class of ferry, we know what ports we're going to serve through that highway system. Do we need a hub and spoke complement similar to what Eric Yancey is doing, which has been a remarkable solution and help to the Wrangell economy? And I appreciate the work that he's done, and I appreciate that he's met with me. So it's not where your schedule is now, to me, is not acceptable. We need to get that revised. And I also would be very proactively involved in advocating with the commissioner of DOT if the ferry system remains in that location. I do believe I've heard some potential discussions for that being transited out so it is a little more independent agency. I don't know what that's going to look like. I haven't seen the final results of the reshaping committee. But having said that, this is critical. It's not only critical for road-to-road access for people, for medical services, all the things that people rely on for the tourism industry. It's also extremely imperative to support Wrangell because you're a fishing hub and there is no way to get fresh product to the market without the ferry system. So that has been brought to me by some of the processors, and I feel I'm very concerned about that. And I have talked to other legislators about this, that the ferry system in Southeast Alaska cannot be ignored. It needs to be revitalized, revised, and right-sized. And I think we've got to have the right class vessel. Do we need the boats that go for longer term, you know, for multiple days, or do we need day boats? What do we need to hit to connect the key ports? And are there opportunities for hub and spoke complements where there could be maybe potentially, if we are willing to have a open debate about this, are there hub and spoke private public-private partnerships that could be developed similar to what Eric is doing, where there could be a small subsidy to keep that service on a consistent and routine basis? It doesn't mean daily basis, but a consistent and routine basis that will meet the needs of those outlying communities outside of the major corridor. So that's those are the things that I'm concerned about. Yes, Prince Rupert or Hyder needs to be reopened. We need to have access to Canada. We need to have access, direct access to the lower 48 states. And the sooner we can get that resolved, the better.
Thank you. Representative Ortiz, do you want to respond to that?
No, I appreciate Leslie's comments, Ms. Decker's comments. I'm glad that she has come around to the idea that we need to have a publicly operated marine highway system, and that's just we agree on that idea for sure. So no, I don't have much to add.
Candidate Becker, anything else?
No, I'm just it's imperative. It's a highway system, and we need to take responsibility. But I think we need to press for outcomes. We can't just fund things. It needs to have some outcome expectations. It'll never operate at a profit, but it needs to be run efficiently and effectively. And that means that we need to audit through the entire system to make sure when we get it redeployed, it's operating correctly.
Mm-hmm. So you brought up fishing, and that is also another very big concern of the people here in Wrangell. We got another emailed question from Michael J. Lockerbie, a lifelong Wrangell resident, who says, I have watched good Alaska resident fishermen heavily invested in commercial fishing in Southeast Alaska pack up and move their families and fishing operations to other states. These moves amount to millions of dollars in investments and infrastructure that have left our communities. I have considered doing this myself. My question is, what would you do to turn this around? And we'll start out with Candidate Becker, since we started with Representative Ortiz for the last question. Ms. Becker.
I think that's an excellent question, and it's something that we have to all really dig into. But here's the thing. I happen to have the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, their mission statement in front of me, because this is really important. They're there to manage the subsistence and commercial and personal use fisheries in the interest of the economy and general well-being of the citizens of the state, consistent with the sustained yield principle and subject to allocations through public regulatory processes. So I believe as a legislature, it is your responsibility to make sure that they are held accountable to sticking to their mission, number one. I also intend to continue my discussions, and I've had many, with the fleet on how management can better be approached. And I think we have a graying of the fleet, but I'm concerned that we might now be looking at a compounded effect of the leaving of the fleet. So these kinds of discussions really need to be serious, meaningful. They might be a little messy, but we have got to get this addressed. And I will continue to work with the fishermen, as I have been, to find out how we can get these things resolved.
Mm-hmm. Representative Ortiz.
Well, I have had the good fortune of serving as the Finance Committee's sub-chair of the Fish and Game budget. And in that role, I have worked hard to see that the department can follow through with its constitutional, not just its vision statement, but with its constitutional mandate, which is to manage our resources to the maximum sustainable yield. Up until about 5-6 years ago, the common thing that I heard about our Fish and Game Department and the management, the overall management that takes place of our fish resources, which includes the activities of the Fish Board as well, is that we've had the best managed system in the world. And that said a lot. But here's the deal. Over the last 5 years, funding for the Fish and Game department has been cut at least by 20%. And that is starting to impact its ability to follow through with its constitutional mandate. When the Fish and Game Department doesn't have the resources to put up the planes to spot fish, doesn't have the resources to put in weirs to count fish, it begins to lose access to information. It begins to lose access to key data. And when that happens, they have to fall back to a much more conservative approach in managing whatever fishery that has seen those cutbacks. If they don't get the data, they have to be conservative, which means then that there's less fish that are allowed to be caught by a crab fisherman or by a commercial seiner, because the data is not there. The department has to be more conservative. And that means less money for crew, less money for the captain, less money in fish taxes to go into local communities. And so it's just a revolving problem, spiraling, where ultimately we just have to make a decision to say, okay, is this a priority or not to sustain our Southeast economy? If it is, coastal economy, not just Southeast economy. If it is, then let's put the resources back in place so that they can do their job effectively, so that it's not a cost to our fishermen. And if I continue to be have the good fortune of serving the legislature, I will continue to push for that. I will never give up the opportunity to be the sub-finance chair of Fish and Game, because that's the where I need to be to best represent my constituents here in District 36. We are heavily dependent on the fishing industry for our economic well-being.
Thank you, Representative Ortez. Ms. Becker, would you like to respond?
Yes, the only commitment that I would make to the voters is that I will not let the fishing fleet go extinct because of no action, unequivocally. They will make action to protect this.
Do you support the Board of Fish nominees, the recent Board of Fish nominees that the governor made? Both of you, this is a question to both of you, but I'll start with Ms. Becker.
I am not, I do support the nominees. I have asked them, because I don't know all of the people that have been nominated personally. I have certainly asked across the board in the different communities that I've been talking to the fishermen, and I've heard a good report from them on these nominees. So yes, I would do that based on the information I've received from experienced commercial fishermen.
Representative Ortez, the same question.
Well, actually, I've heard a little different story, particularly from the commercial fleet. There's a concern over the last couple of years under the Dunleavy administration, a significant concern that as appointments have been made to the Fish Board, there's been a much too heavy emphasis on the sports fish representation on the board, with not a balanced representation of com fish people who are concerned with the commercial fishing end of things. In fact, I believe, based on the current proposed board, we only have one com fish representative on what traditionally was a board that had a balance between sports fish, com fish, and subsistence. I think there was always one person on there to represent subsistence issues. So it's a big concern to me. And no, I do not support the current nominees, not because I have anything against them personally. It's just that I think it's important that we keep a balance there between the commercial fishing interests in the state as well as the sports fish interest in the state.
Thank you. Would you like to respond, Ms. Becker?
To Dan's point, if there is not a balance in that, there needs to be equal and balanced representation in all boards that represent all components of any industry. So absolutely, I would support that. So, you know, I'm just telling you this not from an incumbent, I'm telling you from what I've listened to in the community. So that I would definitely be looking for balanced representation across the board.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, Representative Ortez?
No, thank you.
So then moving on to representation and support, community support, House District 36 encompasses lands originally inhabited by Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian peoples. So this is kind of a two-part question. What kind of a relationship do you have with Alaska Native communities and leaders in District 36? And how will you or do you represent, support, and advocate for Southern Southeast Alaska Native communities? And we'll start with Representative Ortez.
I have a very good relationship with the different communities that I represent here in District 36, whether it's Heidelberg out there on the west coast of Prince of Wales, or Malacala, 20 miles southwest of us, or the community of Wrangell, which has a significant nation. I have met with each group. I have gone to each community, gone down to Hyder as well. And frankly, I've lived here for 51 years. And so over that time, I've spent many, many of my school trips and things like that in these very communities, whether it was to go to Malacala for a basketball game, or whether it was to take a debate team up to Wrangell. So I have a very good relationship. And not only do I have a very good relationship, but I've done some significant things to help promote things that are important to the Alaskan Native community. For example, in 2018 and 2019 session, I was able to pass a resolution, which was a Native language preservation resolution that got the support of the governor. And they put into place some government partnerships with local communities to help promote language preservation, which I was hearing loud and clear was a big concern to communities in Heidelberg and Metlakatla. And so I was able to effectively work with the governor's office on that particular issue. I also recently supported, was a co-sponsor of House Bill 221, which called for the state recognition of federally recognized tribes, which would make it easier for the Alaska state government to have government-to-government relationships with some of these different Native communities and tribal entities. While that didn't get across the finish line, it was right on the precipice of getting across the finish line. I was proud to be a co-sponsor of that. And if I am reelected, I would love to join others in the legislature to reintroduce that bill so that we can get that across the finish line. Mm-hmm. So again, not only do I have a good relationship, I've worked actively to try to first listen closely, but then worked actively to try to promote and advocate for the interests that I was hearing about from these different Native communities. My record speaks to that.
Thank you, Representative Ortez. Ms. Becker.
So my campaign platform is to represent all Alaskans. And during this last 5.5 months or so, I have been reaching out to all communities. As you know, I've served on the school board of the Ketchikan Gateway School District. We do a lot of work with the Ketchikan Indian community. We do some government-to-government meetings, et cetera. And I've been working and proactively to support that. I have enjoyed those relationships. I've recently been to Metlakatla and developing some relationships there. I've had contacts call me from Heidelberg and different, you know, et cetera. So I am actually working to connect with all of those communities throughout my campaign. I am aware of a number of different issues, crime issues specifically that need to be addressed. These are things that are really critical to me that need to be, protection needs to be provided to these communities. And all, as things come forward, as I continue to reach out to people, I will be taking their messages forward to ensure that they're heard and resolutions are acted on. So it's part of being a representative. It's developing relationships with everyone. So it's all Alaskans. And yes, it is incredibly imperative to me that I continue that development. It means a lot to me and I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of Native...
Yep.
Oh, go ahead.
If I could just... Yes. Do I have an opportunity to add just a little bit?
Go ahead, Representative Ortez.
Okay, thank you. I did just speak about the great relationship that I have with... Indigenous communities of the region that I represent, of the district that I represent. And I think it really does start with the fact that when I go there, I go and listen. I don't come with solutions. I don't come with pre-planned objectives as to what, quote, I'm going to do for these different communities. I go with open ears. I listen closely. Then I act as an advocate for what I just listened to. And I think that's critical to how we can better improve the relationship between the Alaska state government and our Indigenous communities, which of course play an important role throughout all of the state of Alaska. Thank you.
Ms. Becker, would you like to add anything else?
In any relationship, you go with to hear. I go to hear what the issues are, and you take and you have those conversations and you make sure you're clear on what they would like to have carried forward. That is something that I'm very skilled at and I enjoy tremendously. And I have enjoyed the feedback that I've been receiving from the different Native communities, as well as all businesses and communities throughout District 36. So if you can't have two ears and one mouth, you're not effective in what you need to do to be able to take forward an issue.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Since we're about halfway through, I'll remind anybody listening that you are tuned into KSTK's live call-in candidate forum for Alaska House District 36 with Representative Dan Ortez and Leslie Becker, and you can call in at any time at 874-2345. I will move on and ask a bit about plans, investment things. I'm wondering what kind of development, if any, both of you support in the Tongass, knowing that the roadless rule is all but rolled back for the Tongass National Forest. I am wondering what kind of development, what specific developments you support or do not support in the area. And we'll start out with Ms. Becker.
I'm excited to see the roadless rule be rolled back. I've been meeting with a number of the businesses here in Timber, and I am excited that they will be able to move forward a little more effectively. You know, timber is a great resource, and as long as we are wisely stewarding the harvesting of that and protecting our salmon streams and the things that we need to do as the guidelines are set up in the state, I'm excited that we can do this. Timber opens roads, roads open the opportunity for industry. Southeast Alaska needs industry. I'd like to see an emerging development of industry here. It's great that we can harvest logs and send them offshore, but I'd like to see some development of an economy where we're not only lumber and things like that, so we can develop some different skilled labor opportunities for our children and our children's children to be able to have an opportunity to work and have productive lifestyles in Southeast Alaska. As this moves forward, I continue to meet with the timber representatives to find out what their plans are, who they're partnering with, what they want to go forward with. But I think, you know, anything that we're going to do needs to make sure the permitting process is going to work efficiently so we can actually capture the revenue and develop the resources in timber. But I'm excited that we're going to have that opportunity. And it's a learning experience to every, as new things open up, it's sitting and down and listening and getting educated and finding out how the legislature can support the efficiency for private industry to move forward to develop a new economy in Southeast Alaska.
Representative Ortez?
Could you repeat the question, please?
Yes. I am wondering what kind of development, if any, you support in the Tongass National Forest, whether that is timber or mining or some other kind of development in the Tongass National Forest.
Okay, thank you very much. So, you know, you're right. We are on the precipice of having the roadless rule being, you know, lifted from the Tongass National Forest. We're not quite there yet, but we're on the precipice of it. And I, you know, my job as a representative is to listen to constituents. And I was very much aware that, you know, the majority of public comment, at least public comment that was held here in Ketchikan, as well as over on Prince of Wales Island, was not in support of that roadless rule exemption. However, certainly our federal delegation has worked hard on this for years, and it does appear that it will happen. And it will bring potentially some new opportunities for development. And so whether it's getting greater access to hydro facilities, or whether it's perhaps providing better access to timber stands, you know, that's going to be a benefit from it, potentially a benefit from it. And with that, of course, are jobs and economic opportunity. So I am, you know, optimistic about that. I myself spent some time as a part of the timber industry when I was in high school, or right after I graduated. I got a job at the pulp mill over 5 summers in a row, and I was able to, you know, pay my way through college for that. I called it the pulp mill scholarship. It really wasn't a scholarship at all, but I like to think of it as it was. So I certainly, you know, am supportive of it. And I also believe that we do need to do more with the timber that we're harvesting with value added activities, where we don't just ship out ROM logs, but we do things with the timber that we're harvesting. We create products that are sellable. We create jobs in creating those products. You know, I would like to see the state be better partners in helping to facilitate value added use of timber. Also, you know, I think the roadless rule, if it goes forward, perhaps greater recreation opportunities and those kinds of things. But certainly, as we start to unfold these things, we always need to be in communication mm-hmm. with the groups of people that we potentially could impact, whether it's tribal entities or other groups of people. We need to make sure that we're communicating and that we're moving forward in a judicious way and doing as best we can to get people on board with the activities that would unfold as a result of the abolition of the roadless rule.
Candidate Becker, would you like to add anything?
No, I'm just excited to see it. And we need industry in the Southeast. And I, you know, mining is here. And that's another exciting opportunity for us to see that emerge. It, you know, Alaska is so blessed with minerals that it's incredible. So I'm looking forward to seeing those industries open.